Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. Enjoy today's message. May you experience the presence of our Father, and may you grow deeper in your relationship with Him.
Apparently, we're only taking up half an offering today. I mentioned a little bit earlier about the four things that we've identified for the year that we really want to invite everyone in church to join us and be part of. And last year, you probably, if you've been around, received either a bookmark like this or a fridge magnet. If you didn't, with the dates for sort of our four key events for this year, you're welcome at the info table on the way out just to collect one of those. For this morning, I'm excited about this year. I've got just a real sense of expectation in my spirit and my heart for what God is wanting to do, not only in our midst, not only in our congregation, but what God is wanting to do. And that we get to be a part of that. We get to be a part of the incredible work that God is doing among the nations. There's a lot of stuff going on among the nations. If you're sort of half read a newspaper in the last couple of weeks, you'll know there's a lot of stuff going on. That we live in a world that's in flux all the time. Everything is changing all the time. There's politics are changing, political regimes are changing, landscapes are changing. If you're an Australian, your country literally looks different now than it did a month ago. I heard someone say that the size of the fire on the eastern coast of the United States at New York and draw a line all the way across to Los Angeles on the other coast, then come all the way back to New York again and go halfway to Los Angeles again. That would be the size of the fire front that they were waging in Australia at that time. This is stuff that's going on all the time. And as a church, we need to be aware of that. We need to be speaking into that. For those of us who are parents, we're very aware of the comprehensive sexual education curriculum or mandate that kind of church, or not churches, schools are being forced to implement. And we're getting a professional in just as the school starts in about 3 weeks' time. He'll be with us, who's been speaking to the minister, who's been looking at the legislation, just to come and give us as parents some guidance around those. And for parents, we'll keep you updated as sort of our plans for that progress and the sexualization of our children. There's a whole bunch of stuff happening in our world. And I spoke just towards the end of the last year that there are some things that don't change. There are some things that in the midst of all of the change that don't change. And one of them is God's faithfulness, God's goodness, God's character, and also His Word. And I love reading His Word. I love spending time in His Word because to me it's an anchor. To me it brings me back to something that is concrete, something is a rock. Even I'm told our polarity of the earth is changing, so north isn't quite the way north used to be, but let's just excuse that for a moment. You know, if you go hiking, if you go for a walk before we had GPSs, you need a landmark. You need something that gives a direction. And maybe if you're going on a longer walk or you're at night and you don't have a visual landmark that you can catch with your eye, you need a compass. You need something that gives you a true north, something that's a reference point, something that when you've walked around in circles a couple of times, you're a bit discombobulated, you just, I don't know which way is which right now, you can pull out that compass and it can just read to us. The Word of God serves as that thing which remains true north. And I love reading it because whether it was 2,000 years ago when the Gospels were written, whether it was 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 years ago when some of the older texts were written, whether it was 1,000 years ago or 500 years ago, whether it is now, it's still relevant. And too often today we try and change it. We say, no, 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 that was written for them, but it doesn't apply to us now. And I think surely God understood that times would change. And an unchanging God with an unchanging Word. And it's not so much that we need to find the Word of God and adjust the Word of God to our lifestyle and our civilization and our communities. Perhaps we need to find ways in which to adjust our communities and our lifestyles to the Word of God. And so our Word of God is central, and our Word of God is the anchor and the direction. So for this morning, our service is going to look a little bit different than we normally would have our services. We're going to do, in a sense, a little bit of a 101 of Bible study. We're going to do some Bible study together this morning. And for the next couple of months, we've just decided we're going to slow down. And as much as all of the other messages and other stuff is going on, we just regularly want to come back to a piece of scripture, to a text. And for the next 5 or 6 months, we're going to spend a lot of time on 1 John, a really short book. If you can find it in your Bible, you've done well. 1 John, a letter written by John the Elder, and we'll speak about all of those things a little bit later. And we're going to spend the next 5 months praying through that in our first Monday prayer, praying through those texts. We're going to take one Sunday a month and look at one chapter of 1 John, and that'll take us 5 months because there are 5 chapters. And then when we come back at the beginning of the second semester with our explore groups, what we're going to trust for you to do is to sit and for 6 weeks with somebody work through 1 John. And by then, you'll have a good understanding of the book. You'll have prayed through it. You'll have read through it. We'll be able to speak through it in church a little bit. And as July comes around, or the end of July and August, for you to invite 2 or 3 or people, however many you feel in your heart, to say, can we just do some Bible study together? Just read a book together. And as you read through 1 John, be able to share and be able to talk. And there are a whole bunch of different ways in which to do Bible study. Can I also just throw an ad in here? I'd encourage you to do Bible school if you haven't yet. Bible school starting in a couple of weeks' time in the middle of February. Tuesday evenings is really going to give you just a good understanding of Scripture. But even if you can't do, or you haven't done Bible school, we can all do Bible study. We can all read the Word. I always say, and I believe we should read the Word in at least 2 different ways. There isn't I wouldn't say there is a specific right way to read the Bible, except to read it. There are wrong ways in which to read the Bible and to do Bible study. But there isn't a specific right way. If there was, then the Holy Spirit would have left us a book in Scripture that says, this is how you read it. We have to read the Bible led by the Spirit, but we need to read the Bible. So I don't believe there's a single right way. I don't think there's one way in which we do it. And over the next couple of months, every Sunday, as we take sort of the Bible study Sunday, if you want to call it that, we're hopefully going to give you some tools, because more than anything, as much as it's great to come and hear the Word that I preach or Yaku preach or whoever it is comes and shares, that's second-hand Word. And God uses it powerfully. He's used powerfully second-hand Word in my life as someone has come and preached, and God has used a gifted preacher to speak into my life. But what is important is those first-hand words we receive from God. That time when it's me and the Bible and the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is speaking to me and He's illuminating the Word. And we want to make sure all of us, as just central to our walk with Christ, we have a good understanding and a good habit of spending time in Scripture. And there are at least 2 different ways we should read Scripture, I believe. The one is what I would call devotionally. I read it just for encouragement. I read it in the way that, you know, a chapter a day keeps the devil away. I read it, I pick up my Bible in the morning, and I read it, and I read it a little bit like I perhaps would read a magazine article or a blog post. I read it, and I look for some form of encouragement. I read it to hear kind of what is something that just God is maybe wanting to whisper to me today. And I read it almost superficially. I read it, and I know it's the Word of God, and I'm serious about it, but I read it in the sense that I read a newspaper article. I read it almost for informational purposes, and then I carry on. And I believe we should do that. And for that, I'd encourage you to have an easy-to-read Bible translation, something like the Nearly Inspired Version, the NIV, the New International Version, or the New Living Translation. A translation that reads relatively easily would be a good translation. Those are typically what we'd call dynamic equivalent translations. They are where they're thought-for-thought translations. So they're not 100% accurate, but what the translators have done is they've looked at the thought in the original language and they tried to convey that thought as best as possible into a modern English language, if we're reading English, or into a whichever language we read scripture in. And there is time and space, there is good merit to a thought-for-thought translation. But a thought-for-thought translation includes inherently an interpretation. Because I'm interpreting what the author is meaning so that I can translate the thought. And sometimes, even though they're easier to read, some of the intricacies in the text sometimes do get lost a little bit there. Then I'd also encourage us to have a what's called a complete equivalent translation or a word-for-word translation. And these don't always read as easily. They don't always make as much sense to read the first time, because what the authors have done is they've tried to stay true, as not the authors, the interpreters, the translators have done, is they've tried to stay as true as they can to the wording. So they've taken the wording in the Hebrew or in the Greek, and with reference to the grammar into which they're translating, they've tried to translate each word individually as accurately as possible. So they haven't taken a thought and translated a thought, they've translated a word and translated each word individually. Does that make sense? And then obviously tried to structure it in a way that it still makes grammatical sense within English or Afrikaans or whichever language. American Standard, a New King James, an ESV, English Standard Version, those would all be good examples of word-for-word translations. So for this morning, what I'd like us to do is to look at 1 John chapter 1. Some of us have read it recently. Some of us prayed through it when we had First Monday prayer. And before we put up there in the ESV, I know this is kind of revolutionary for some of us, but I'd like us to take out our Bibles in church, if you have a Bible. And if you don't have your Bible, take out your cell phone and open up the Bible app and go to 1 John. If you don't have the Bible app on your cell phone, take out your cell phone if you have one here, and you can go to BibleGateway.com and look up 1 John. And you can pick off any translation that you would like. And what I'd like us actually to do, the first thing in sort of the method that I'm going to hold before us this morning for Bible study, the very first thing after you've gotten your Bible and you're in your quiet space, and we're not quite going to be in a quiet private space this morning, but that's okay. The first thing we do is pray. So what I'd like us to do in just a moment is I'm going to pray a blanket prayer. Then I want you just to take 10 seconds. Doesn't have to be a deep prayer. Just pray a simple prayer. Pray that the Holy Spirit would reveal the word to you. And then I'm going to give us a few moments to, in your own translation, the one that you're comfortable, the one that you know best, to read 1 John chapter 1, just 10 verses, by yourself. Okay. Everyone good with that? So let's pray. Lord Jesus, this morning we thank you for your word. Your word is truth. And Holy Spirit, we pray, would you reveal the word to us? Would you allow us to read it in the way that you have meant for it to be read this morning? Have us done reading, at least the first time. So the first thing that we do when we approach the text, and what we're wanting to do this morning is go a little bit deeper than just a devotional reading of the Bible, which is really good, it's really great, and maybe you've got a devotional journal that you work through. Those, we need those in our lives. It really is good. But I'm wanting us for this morning just to go a little bit deeper to a place where we start engaging with the text. So we're not going to look at this in an academical, theological sense, do an inductive Bible study, whatever it may be. Kind of, what I'm wanting us this morning to do is to look at it. How do I practically engage with a text that I read in the morning or in the afternoon when I do my Bible study? And just some practical tips, some practical idea around it. The first one is pray. We did that. The second one is read the passage. Read the passage. Once we've read the passage, read it again. The reason I say that is because when I used to lecture, found this so often, and we'd sit and kind of drill with the students over and over and over when I was at university lecturing. We'd say, the first thing you do, you guys, you're students, you know this, when you receive an exam paper, what's the first thing you do? You read it. What's the second thing you do? You read it again. And you will be surprised, it's scary, how often I marked exam texts where that answered 100% right answer to the wrong question. where they've studied a question, they think they know the question, so they read it, their eyes light up, I studied this, they answer it, and they get very close to zero for that question because they answered the wrong question. We all do that. We all tend to do that. We jump to assumptions. One of the challenges in reading Scripture is we have to look through our own glasses a bit, and we have to find ways to take, and not these glasses because then it kind of becomes blurry, but we have to take our sunglasses and our tinted glasses off that tint a little bit how we read it. And the way we do that is by reading it, in a sense, repetitively. So the first thing we do is we're going to read it, and we're going to say, we're going to pray, and we're going to read the text. Now, normally when you read a text, depending on what your chosen text is, it's a little bit too long to, in one Bible study session, unless you've got a couple of weeks, to examine the whole text and to engage really constructively with the whole text. So what I encourage you to do is to ask the simple question, as I read it, what stood out for me? What stood out for me? And the thing that I love about Scripture is that we're, 100-odd people here this morning. If I were to ask every one of us, as you read 1 John this morning, what stood out for you? The chances are every one of us are going to highlight something slightly different. There might be a couple of common themes that come through, but that's something I love about the living Word. It speaks to us. And what stood out for you, and that's why I'm saying we're not looking at this from an academic point of view. We're not trying to dissect it and kind of break it down in terms of write a commentary for somebody else. We're coming with the question, Holy Spirit, what is it that you want to say to me today? How do I engage with the text for where I am in my life? So this first step is pray. Second step is read it. Third step is ask, what stood out for me? And if you're the highlighting type or the coloring in type or the underlining type, that's typically when you'd underline in your script, in your Bible. Maybe you're the journal type and you have a different book and you're writing in there. I'm trying to make clear for myself what I sense the Holy Spirit is saying to me. So what I'd like you to do now is just very quickly turn to somebody close by and just share, as you read that text, what is one thing that stood out for you, that just gripped your heart, one verse, one phrase, one word, one little piece, whatever it may be, that just gripped your heart, that your attention was drawn to that for some reason as you read it this morning. Take a few moments and just quickly share. It doesn't have to be very deep. What is one thing that stood out for you? Now, for those of us who have study Bibles, or maybe you have a commentary around the piece you're studying, typically this is the point where we turn to what does the study Bible have to say, or what does the commentary have to say? I read this thing, and this part stood out for me. What does the commentary have to say about it? I want to suggest to you don't do that. For me, I know sometimes when I'm doing Bible study, I need to work with an unmarked, simple Bible in the sense that it's just a Bible text. And maybe the translator's notes around what the original text said in that, but not a commentary. Not, you know, sometimes some of you have those Bibles where there's Bible in the top half and some person's opinions in the bottom half. And those opinions might be 100% correct. But I'd say for now, read that a little bit later. Right at the end is where we're going to come to the commentaries and other people's opinions. What you want to do now is you want to say, I've read this passage of Scripture. I prayed, I read this passage of Scripture, and this little thing stood out for me. For me, as I was preparing for us in the week, the bit that stood out for me was that last verse 4, a whole bunch of stuff. But the one thing that gripped me most was verse 4, which just says, and we are writing these things so that your joy, or our joy rather, may be complete. Maybe it's because I like fun and I like it when there's joy. There's something here that my joy may be complete. So what do we do then? Well, now we go back to the text. And now we ask ourselves, what does it actually say? So as I read this the first time, I saw there was this thing which said that my joy may be complete. Oh, God wants my joy to be complete. That's amazing. And sometimes we close the Bible and we leave. And we miss so much of what God would have in store for us in that text. So what would we do here typically? Well, let's go back. Well, what would make my joy complete? Or the author that's writing, they're writing, John is writing this in plural. We'll get to that in a moment. So that our joy may be complete. What is going to complete our joy? What does it actually say? What does it actually say? And this is where the study, as it were, gets in. This is where you need to apply a little bit of what you would see in the law movies and you would read online from time to time. Go back and say, what does it actually say? Let me go and look at the wording. Let me look at the phrasing. And that's why a word-for-word translation is important for this type of study. A thought-for-thought translation is very dangerous for this. A paraphrase is going to just set you on totally the wrong course. You can't use the message for this. You can use the message to give you an overview of what is sort of the main theme of the book, and that's great. You can't use the message translation. You can't use the passion translation. You can't use paraphrases or the good news translation. You can't use paraphrases for a study like this. Now what we need to do is go back and say, okay, what does it take for my joy in this context or our joy to be completed? What does it take? What is that one thing that, for me, that would be the thing? What is the one thing that as you read it stood out? And now I read it again and prayerfully, slowly, over and over. What is it that Scripture actually says around this point? So with that as a little bit of a background, we don't have time to do it for each one of your thoughts, but we're going to do it just for my thought. Read through, and hopefully I'll expand on one or two thoughts. And this morning, as much as the word is obviously crucially important, for me this morning, more important is how we read the word than the word itself. Obviously, every time we read the word, it speaks to us. Five things that I encourage you to do when you want to study Scripture. The first one is pray. The second one is read it. Read it slowly. Read it properly. Thirdly is ask yourself what stood out. At this point, a group or somebody to share with really helps as well. If you're not journaling, that really stood out for me. It helps you to verbalize your own thoughts. It helps them also to kind of bring in a different color to what you're seeing. What stood out for you? Then what does it actually say? Read, what does it actually say? Because we're going to look at that part now. And then the last part, which we cannot neglect. Okay, so what does it require of me to do? What is my response to this word? My response might be simply, I sense God is telling me to hold on, that it's going to be okay within the situation I'm with. The response doesn't necessarily have to be an action. But what I found in Scripture is as I really read Scripture, it very often leads me to an active response. But that would depend on the text, and would depend on what the Spirit in your context, in your situation, is saying to you. So what should I do is the last question. The fourth is, what does it say? And the last one is, what shall I do? So let's read this passage, 1 John 1, together. That which was from the beginning, we're reading from the English Standard Version. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon, and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. I'm going to pause here just quickly. There is an hyphen here. Now, this is a very long sentence. This hyphen is a parenthetical hyphen. It's adding information. It's explaining. So we can take the whole section between the hyphens out, and this is where a good grasp of language helps a little bit. We can take this whole section out, and the sentence still makes sense. And what I find often, especially in some of the longer sentences, especially in the New Testament, is to actually read it without the extra information. And then go back and read it with the extra information. Let me just get the picture of the whole sentence first before I get blurred by the detail that gets added to the sentence. So let's read it like that. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So what is he saying? He's saying, this is an eyewitness account. This is John himself who's writing. He has been with Jesus. He's saying everything he's seen, everything he's heard, he's experienced, he touched with his own hands. He had an encounter with Christ, the living Christ. I want to share that with you. Not only do I want to share it with you, I want to share it with you. We're going to look at this in a moment so we can have fellowship. And it's a plural, it's our fellowship, because our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son. So what's the little bit that was added in there? This word of life. So I want to tell you about it, but concerning the word of life, and now he's just giving us a little bit more information about the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life, with which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. So he's just expanded on the word of life. He's saying, I'm explaining this word of life thing to you, which the Father has given me. But the point of that sentence is simply, I have experienced something with my own hands, with my own eyes. And I want to tell you about it. He had to summarize kind of in a very paraphrased sense. That's what he's saying here. I have experienced something of eternity, eternal life, which the Father has given me, and I want to tell you about it. Remember, I'm reading now saying, okay, I want to understand this joy thing. I want my joy to be complete. We are writing these things to you so that our joy may... What are these things that we are writing? Well, we are writing the message. And I think here is the key to that joy. So that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. He's writing this letter to the readers. He's sending out a message. Friend request isn't something that Facebook has started. He's sending out a message saying, I want to have fellowship with you. Correction, we want to have fellowship with you. And the we that is referring to here is Himself and the Father and the Son. He's saying, we want to have fellowship with you. Our fellowship is with the Father and the Son. That is the us within this context. And we want to invite you into the fellowship. And the way we invite you into this relationship, into this fellowship, into this friendship, is by sharing the message with you. And I do this because I want my joy, our joy too. And how is our joy? Our in this context that he's saying is John himself and God the Father and God the Son. How is our joy made complete? By having you enter into fellowship with us. When you enter into fellowship with us, something happens on the inside, and not only does my friends list grow on Facebook, but there's an element of true joy that gets added. The flip side, if we study and we read this, is without the message of the cross, there's not going to be true fellowship. There might be a nice care, we might have a nice braai, we might have a whole bunch of fun together, but something of eternity is going to be missing. We're not going to be having relationship with the Father and the Son together if we haven't come to the message. And that's what compels John to share the message. What compels him to share the message in a weird sense is a desire for his own joy, that his joy may be completed, with an understanding that his joy is completed when he enters into fellowship with other people. That the Godhead's joy is completed when he enters into fellowship with other people. Our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. He's writing these things so that his joy, our joy, the Father, the Son, and John's joy may be complete. I look at this, and one of the things that moves me, how am I sharing that which I have experienced from God? That which I have seen and touched and heard, that which the Father has revealed to me. Am I proclaiming, as the word this translation says, am I declaring that? Am I sharing it with other people so that they too can have fellowship with us? In the absence of our sharing it, they're not going to have fellowship. In the absence of my sharing what God has done and who God is, there is a very clear outside and an inside. As we were praying through this on Monday, I was struck, and I was deciding whether to share this or not, but I'm going to this. These Australian fires are pretty big, and they're real. They really are real. And their lives being lost, there's livelihoods being lost, there's significant amount of animals and habitats being lost. And as I was going through that, I was like, the church in Australia should be involved. And it was sort of sparked by a discussion with the church leader about how their church is involved in there, and somebody being difficult with the church leader. You know, as I read that, I was like, man, the church should be involved. But then something else struck me on the inside and was, but there is another fire. There is another fire. The Australian fire is real. It's genuine. Specifically, the church and the church in Australia must engage with that because that's where their people are at. But I wonder, as the church, how engaged are we around the other fire? How real is that to us? How real is the destruction of eternity to us? And John says, that's why I share the message. I share because I want you to have fellowship with the Father and with the Son. I'm aware of, a little bit later on, we'll read about that in some of the other chapters. I'm aware of that other fire that is waiting for us. And I'm aware that there is a way to keep us from that fire. And I'm aware that there is life, there is eternal life. So he says, I'm writing these things to you so that your joy, our joy, may be full. When I read this, I see that there's a joy that God has stirred up for us, that for me, for my joy to be complete, I have to be bringing people into fellowship. The way I bring them into fellowship is by sharing the message, because my fellowship was with the Father and with the Son. I might be bringing them to fellowship with my bike or bring else it is, and it's not necessarily bad that we engage with people in that way. But my joy is going to be made complete when I bring them into fellowship with the Father. That's the first, just this first couple of verses. And then he carries on and he says, this is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you. So he says, I'm writing these things to you so that my joy may be full. I'm writing these things to you. What is this message that I'm wanting to bring to you? He says, there is a message. I've seen it. I've heard this message. And I'm sharing this message with you so that my joy may be full. And let me tell you what the message is. This message, this is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. That's the message. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. I've so often wanted to, and sometimes in private conversation, I have this with some people, but you know, on social media, which I'm enjoying less and less as I get a little bit older, there's just so much vitriol and hate, and just it becomes toxic so quickly. But sometimes I want to bring life there, but I realize, you know, that such a toxic environment, that it's very hard to bring life because you just get a whole bunch of toxin back. But you know, sometimes some people ask, why has a good God let all of these bad things happen? Sometimes I want to respond, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Maybe it wasn't him behind the bad thing. Maybe there is a real devil who seeks to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And maybe we should blame the devil for the devil's work rather than blame God for the devil's work. But then they want to tell you they want to blame God because God's not real, and that just confuses me. And there's definitely not a devil, but there's a whole bunch of evil, which is God's fault. And I look at that logic and I'm like, man, there's a simple answer. There's an easier way to explain this. Maybe there is a devil. Maybe he is real. But this is the message, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. And then I love how quickly John gets really deep and really personal. Remember, we're talking about fulfilling our joy. If we say we have fellowship with him, with God, while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Boom. Ouch. Okay, wait a minute. You're saying that my joy is complete when we enter into fellowship with the Father or with the Son. But in him is no darkness. And if I hold on to any darkness and I tell myself that I'm in fellowship with God, I'm lying. That's pretty strong very quickly right there. He doesn't hold back. What are we in here? Six verses in. Six verses in, and he's already bringing out a sledgehammer. You know a lie? A lie is when I know I am wrong and I still say it. That's a lie. I don't lie when I think it's right. We'll look at that a little bit later. A lie is I know what the truth is, but I choose to say something else. That's a lie. So if I choose, and that's why the wording that he uses here is so strong. He says, if we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. That's a strong word right there. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. That's with him and with each other. If we just remember the verses earlier, remember John said, our fellowship is with the Father and the Son. And if we're in that fellowship, we're in the light. And we have to be in the light to be in that fellowship. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So how are we bringing people into fellowship that our joy may be completed? Well, we have to bring them into the light. We have to find ways and encourage them to walk in the light. Because if they're not walking in the light, whatever else they're saying, it's a lie. Scripture says that. If they say they have fellowship with the Father, but they're not walking in the light and there is darkness in them, they're lying. One of the reasons why for me small groups are so important to our walk with Christ. That place we can come to regularly, ideally weekly, share together, how was your weekend, how was your holiday, did you tan, did you burn, did you put on sunscreen, all of those things, but even more, I want to walk in the light about what's going on in my life. I don't want to hide anything. I want the people that I'm in fellowship with to be able to see into my life and not be hiding stuff. Because if I'm hiding stuff from people, I'm not talking about being discreet and the right place at the right time, but when I'm hiding stuff, no one must know this. I'm not having fellowship with the Father. I'm in darkness. We need to create spaces in our lives where we're walking in the light. Small group plays such a key role in that. When we walk in the light, can I say you can go to small group and still be in darkness? If you go to small group and you decide, I'm still going to hide stuff, I'm still hiding the stuff. But small group is a great place where we can develop trust. It's the right place where we can share this stuff. This is what's going on between me and my wife, between me at work, my finances, my studies, whatever it is. I want to walk in the light. Why? Because watch this beautiful fruit of fellowship. When we have fellowship with one another, what is the fruit of fellowship? The blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. It cleanses us from all sin. I love the fact that if we enter into the light with one another, means we enter into the light with the Father and the Son as well, because our fellowship is with him. The moment we do that, the power of that cross kicks in and all of our sin is cleansed. And then because we're human, John doesn't quite stop there. He carries on with kind of, if the first bit wasn't hard, here comes the real sledgehammer. We can do two things with our sin. We can say we have no sin, but then we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. The thing about deception is different to lying. Lying, I know what the truth is and I say what is wrong. Deceive is almost the opposite. I think what I have is the truth, except it's wrong, and I say that. So honest. How many of us sitting here today are deceived? Some of us are honest. What do I mean by deceived? It means there are some things in my life that I think are right. Some things I think, some things I'm aware of. Maybe not even on a moral, spiritual sense, just on a life sense, just on a fact sense. There are some things we think to be true, but they're actually wrong. We're deceived. We think they're true. We might even be convinced they're true. But maybe tomorrow we do an experiment, we pick up a textbook, we have an experience, and we realize what I thought yesterday was wrong. I'm deceived. And the reality is there are all things that we do not see. What he's saying is if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. We bring ourselves to a point where we think we are right, but we're actually wrong. And the truth is not in us. If, however, I put that in myself, however, If we confess our sins, we can do two things with sin. We can deny that we have sin, in which case the Bible says we are not in the truth. Or the other thing we can do is we can confess our sins to one another. Just in the context of fellowship, that's why to one another here. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then just going back again, if we say we have not sinned, he's just tying into his previous point, we make him, God, a liar, and his word is not in us. If we say we have not sinned, then what we're saying is God knows what the truth is, but he is saying something else. Because that's what a liar is. We're saying God is a liar if we're saying we have no sin. There's so much that one can take from this text, from this, these 10 verses. One of the things that I love about it is that when I am aware of my sin, when I get confronted with my sin, I shouldn't do the one thing that I want to do, and that is to hide my sin. I shouldn't run away from my sin. I've got to engage with my sin. I've got to bring it to God in fellowship, and the beautiful things happen there. The blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses me from that sin. Right there in that moment when I'm willing to walk in the light. I cannot. John doesn't mince his words. He says it so powerfully. He says, if there is darkness in you, you are not in fellowship with the Father. And the truth is not in you. 10 super simple verses. 10 verses which, if we just read them superficially, there's so much we can miss. 10 verses where if this morning we could spend half an hour just digging into them, a whole bunch of life becomes to come alive. 10 verses representative of all of Scripture. That if any piece of Scripture we're willing to take, to slow down, to pray, to read through it, to find that thing that stood out for me as I read it, and then to say, but what does it actually say? To dig into it. For a few minutes, a few days, a few weeks, the more I dig into it, the more I allow the Holy Spirit to speak to me. I want to challenge all of us this year. I've got no problem with the odd series or movie. I enjoy them as much as anybody else. But if what if you were to say, I want to spend more time in Scripture than in entertainment? So I'm going to go watch a movie. But you know, if I watch a movie this week, that's fine. But I'm at least spending as much time in Scripture as I am in my entertainment. If I'm going to binge watch a series, am I going to binge read 1 John? Maybe when I'm finished binge reading 1 John, I'll binge read John. It's a bit long. Too often, we rush through our time in Scripture. We just read it superficially, devotionally. And as I said, there's a time and a place for us to do that. And we don't set aside time to just, but what is the Spirit actually saying to me? The chances are pretty good, even this morning, in just these few minutes, every one of us, there's something in our hearts saying, well, there's this something that I need to do. As I was reading this, I became aware of somebody that I should invite into fellowship. Somebody that I should share what I've experienced with. Somebody that I should walk in the light with. Something that I've been hiding that I need to share with someone. All of us, something different. The Holy Spirit is leading us differently. Different things will resonate in different hearts. But there is some takeaway probably that you'd be able to walk out from here and say, I heard a little bit of what the Holy Spirit would have me do today. I heard not only in the time of worship, not only through the Holy Spirit speaking me sovereignly as He does, but the Holy Spirit speaking to me through His Word. Allowing His Word to become alive in my life. So I hope this has encouraged you a little bit. I hope this is just, for those of us who are already committed to our Bible study, just encouraged us to do more Bible study, to really dig into our Bible study. For those of us who are still finding our way around Bible study, hopefully this has just given you a little bit of a framework in terms of your Bible study. Pray, read, go back and read again. Does it actually say what I think it did? Dig into it. What is it if I want to enjoy? Summarizing this passage from the context I've read it today. If I really want what John is saying here, rather, let me not personalize it too much. What John is saying here is for his joy to be complete, he needs to bring people into fellowship. And then he explains to them what that fellowship looks like. And that completes his joy. The implication, because the text doesn't say this, the implication would be for us, for you and me to enter into the joy that John is speaking about here, we would have to do likewise. We should do likewise. We could do likewise. Can we pray together this morning as we stand? Living, and it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It cuts the division of spirit and soul and bone and marrow. It's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of man. And so this morning we just come and we just submit ourselves before your word again, Lord. Your word, which in these few moments has cut to our hearts, has discerned our thoughts and our intents. We thank you that your word does that. All of your word, any part of your word. And I pray for us that we would love your word more and more, that we would find life in your word more and more. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would grace us to read your word well, to understand it well. Holy Spirit, that you would guide us in our study, in Jesus' name, that we would read your word to encourage and to uplift us, but also to teach and to train us in the way that we should go. And so this morning, God, just in reference to this passage we read, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would lead us all in fellowship with the Father and with the Son, that you would lead us into light. I pray, God, that if there are any one of us here running away from something in our lives, that you would bring us to a place that we would bring it into the light, where your blood, Jesus, would cleanse it, would wash it, Lord. That right in that moment, you would disarm the power of sin upon our lives. God, I pray for grace upon us, that we might be bold to share the message that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. And that we would invite other people into fellowship, Lord. That we would be bold to share with them, knowing that our fellowship truly is with the Father and with the Son. I pray, Holy Spirit, that as we study your word, read your word, that you would continue to direct our path, because your word is a light unto our path and a lamp unto our feet. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for your time this morning. I want to give an opportunity for you to respond. If you're here this morning and there's something that you know you need to walk in the light with, something in you to share with someone, you don't know where to start, you want somebody you can trust that you can share with, I want to invite you to step forward, be bold, and bring it into the light. We'll pray with you. We're just going to pray a prayer of forgiveness over you. Because it's in your sharing that the power of the gospel enters right into that moment. If you need a small group, you want to commit just to that lifestyle of sharing with people, you can just put your name up at the info table. We'd love to invite you to join a small group as well. God bless you. Have a phenomenal, phenomenal week further. There's coffee and tea outside. Hang around. Have some coffee and tea. But please don't leave if you want someone to pray with you. Come forward first, and we'd love to pray with you. God bless you all.
Thanks for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that you enjoyed your time with us, establishing God's kingdom and his glory in your life. For more info, call us on 012-362-1363. Email us pretoria@shofaronline.org. Browse our website www.shofaronline.org or like us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.